thank y'all for tuning in. I'm the host with the most, Peanut Tillman, and this is the NFL Players Podcast. I'm just going to get right to it. He's one of my dear friends. He's an NFL legend, 11-time pro safety, second-round draft pick from the Saints in 2006 and the Carolina Panthers, Super Bowl champion of Super Bowl 44, two-time Pro Bowler for the Saints. He's in the Saints Hall of Fame. You can find him on the SEC Network. He is the founder of Harper's and Hope's 401 Foundation. He's on his own. He has his own podcast, Bailey and Harper's with Kyle Bailey. Y'all welcome the oldest looking guy I know, but he's actually younger than me. My guy, Mr. Roman Q Dog Harper. Hey, you will not find another intro like that, man. I was practicing all night for that.
That was pretty good. If you were really practicing as hard as you claimed you were, then you would have said it, Harper's Hope 4-1 Foundation. But it's all good, though. I still love you. You're still my boy.
Oh, 4-1. Oh, that's how I have it on my thing, though. It's just 4-1. my bad. I do apologize.
It's all good.
What sweatshirt
is that?
Can I
just give you Fahrenheit? You know, Chef Rocco, one of my good friends. When you're around as much as I am, you start to get some of the work clothes and kind of put it in the rotation. I actually just finished volunteering at Sydney and Roman School, my younger kids, and at the Chinese immersion school. So we brought lunch to their whole school and then actually donated by us in Fahrenheit. So I actually put on a sweatshirt, didn't even know that. And then actually watched some of the kids and the students. Hey, I'll just be real straight up with you. I had my class on lockdown at lunch. Like, we was good. Like, kids wasn't getting up. They was using their inside voice. Now, Heather, my wife on the other end, Peanut, her kids were acting up. They was running around, you know. I'm like, Heather, you going to get your kids under control? What's going on over there?
So why do you think? Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think that is?
It's purely because I'm a male and they're like a bigger male, and they see me and they automatically like, hold on, hold up. You know what I mean? And yeah. I see it. I saw it so quickly when you see like the boys automatically, as soon as they see like a male influence or a person around, they automatically, if I just look at them different, they like want to straighten up. So it really is important to, if you don't think it's important that a male influence is in a young male's life, man, just go volunteer at a school real quick, a little elementary school, and see how fast the difference is.
Oh yeah. My kids' friends, they all say Mr. Tillman is mean because I don't play that. So when they come over to my house, hey, y'all going to call me sir. You going to say yes. I don't want no one saying, you going to clean your mess up when you come over here. You know, my daughter had a little shindig for a little homecoming. And I got a little bar. I got my wine and my hard liquor in the basement.
Yeah, downstairs.
Yeah. So I tell them, I say, look, this is all mine. Don't touch my stuff. Don't mess with my stuff. I've worked hard for my stuff. If y'all want to come here and drink, I'll buy you Coke. I'll buy you non-alcoholic apple cider. Just don't touch my stuff. And hey, yes, sir, Mr. Tillman. We got you, Mr. Tillman. Like, everyone was super cool, super respectful. But yeah, you are 1,000% right. It's when you want to see a difference in these kids, throw a man up in there. They're gonna respect that like real quick, real quick.
They did. I saw it today. It was instantly too. And actually seeing some of these kids and some of the kids that may fight or may argue with each other, the moment I was like, hey, they just like, calm it down. But they listen, man. It was actually really cool to kind of to be around that and actually pour into some of the younger kids. And one kid, it was kind of crazy. Well, not crazy, but just really it's very humbling experience where you're around these kids for just an hour and a half. That's all I gave in today. And then and at one lunch period, this one kid, I was trying to see if this kid needed some help. And the other little boys, a couple boys around him were like, he's bad. He's mean. He's angry. And I'm like, what? Like, don't say that about people. You don't know that. And then he was like, and the young man was like, I'm only angry sometimes because, you know, people came in and took me from my home and I'm at a foster home right now. And it really makes me angry. And sometimes I have to act out, but I'm, you know, this, that, and other. So I just told him, hey, man, look, I appreciate you opening up with us like that and being able to share that with us. And that, you know, it's good because, fellas, you see that not everybody knows exactly what somebody's going through all the time when they're not here around us. Like, people go through things that are hard in life. But I also told the other young man that, hey, look, just because you're angry, you can't walk around with that all the time. You got to be able to let some of that stuff go. You can't carry that into every situation in life. You have to learn how to compartmentalize that. Be angry for that, but I got to learn how to let that go, because that can affect my next relationship. And I have to be able to talk and communicate in normal ways. And, you know, by the end, man, they were all listening to me. They were cool. And then they tried to hit on my wife by the time we were leaving. They were like, hey, they're like, hey, what is that your wife? I'm like, yeah, that's my wife over there in the black. They were like, okay. They were like, hey, can you ask her to come here? And I was like, yeah, Heather, come here. They were like, 1, 2, 3. You look good. And then they ran off. I'm like, oh, this is so third grade. This is hilarious. This is great.
So what school? What kid was it?
His school is called East Voyager Academy here in Charlotte. And it's Sydney and Roman. So the Chinese immersion.
I got you. And how's the Mandarin going with them, with Sydney and Roman?
It's going well, man, especially with Sydney. Sydney's a crazy good student. Roman is doing fairly well too. I was surprised. I thought he would be, you know, the knucklehead that he always is at the house, but all of a sudden he gets into that school building and he's a completely different person. He's actually talking about somebody maybe trying to pick on him, or maybe is he being bullied, which I thought would be the complete opposite. I'm like, dude, this dude's going to act out and he's going to be all over the place, but he loves his teacher. He loves going to school every day. He really enjoys it. And, it's been a pleasure to kind of see him kind of figure his way out as a young man. You know, when you have like very low expectations. Look, we talk about you and your son all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I just have no idea. I don't think he's going to get his right from his left right. But all of a sudden you put him in school. He's like, no, actually he's flourishing. He's doing really well.
And that's, my kids literally are the same way. Like, they do some of the dumbest stuff known to man. And I'm like, really, son, why would you, or just not even him, just like my kids in general. And then you do these parent teacher conferences and then my wife will tell me what the teacher said about him. And it's like, oh yeah, they're very respectful. I love him. He's a great person. He can hold a conversation well. His manners, he says, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I'm just sitting here like, well, I guess I'm doing something right. So it's pretty, that part is pretty cool. But I will say this about you.
Hold on. I still got the video of Tyson when he put on the same wet socks or whatever, the dirty socks. Like, I still got that video saved in my phone. So just know, like, whenever he starts to get too big time, like, bro, I remember when your humble beginnings where you just couldn't get out your own way.
We've come a long way. My son is killing it in school right now. He had one C in I think math, but my son is like 10 times the student than I was. No doubt. It's safe to say that I was a class clown. Like, I get it. I know I was. And I'm kind of seeing that in my son. No, not really. I've grown up a whole hell of a lot. Can't you tell from the suit I got on? And just looking at my son now, I'm extremely proud of what he's doing. And I know for those listening, if you have boys, they have done some things that make you question, like, what is actually going on. But yeah, my son is in a good place right now. He's my guy. I'm proud of him. I will say this about you though, Rome. Like, you, I follow you. We talk all the time, but I really enjoy your Instagram posts about your kids and how you just pour love and positivity in them. And I love that you let your kids be. I wish I could be as calm and as patient as you, because I'm not. I got that quick hand slap real quick. Like, I got to, you know, so I commend you on that, being patient, because I think I'm like Heather. Like, I'm quick to just get them right real quick. But you, I love daddy daycare. And the best video I saw you do is when your daughter, when London was playing flag football and you had the play drawn up and she scored a touchdown. And then here you come running down the field like this. Hey, that was nice. That was some good father, daughter, daddy's daughter, whatever the hell. That was a good moment.
Thanks, man. Peanut, you have no idea how excited I was during that moment. So, you know, I'm first time coaching flag football. I got a ragtag group. You know what I mean? I didn't recruit anybody. I don't even know who my team is.
That's what you call them, ragtag?
Yeah, ragtag. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to call them, you know, the Bears, Bad News Bears. I wasn't going to say that, you know, respectfully to you. Thank you. And so, you know, we're getting out there. I don't even know who can throw the football. We don't even have a quarterback. None of, anyways, we got a little kid. He's, you know, he's a little, you know, not a little skinny kid, but he could throw the ball a little bit. And he was just like, he had the most confidence I'd ever seen at anybody on the team, even though he ended up not being our quarterback because he couldn't throw that great. And, but he was confident. So I'm like, I'm just going to roll with you. Come on. So then the first play of the game as a coach, without knowing any of your players, like, all right, what are we comfortable with? What are we good with? All right. Here, I was kind of going through and he knew the slant routes from all the, I kind of got it from Madden
games.
Like, yeah. Just like three slants and like an out route. He's like, oh, I know that play slants from Madden. I'm like, okay, let's run this play. Cool. He's like, all right, cool. He gets out there ready. He said, hut. Boom. He looking, and I'm like, okay, I'm just sitting behind him. I don't tell him where to go with the football, but I'm like, that's not open. And he throws a lollipop in the middle of the field, dude, like lollipop floating out there. I'm like, this is definitely getting picked off. Then next thing you know, first play of the game, London goes out there, snatches it out of the air, makes another person. Yeah, makes another person miss and just breaks out, houses that thing. I was like, oh, my God. Like, and the shock value that football gives you when we're not playing, Peanut, is something that people, like, that's the only thing that it gives you. It's like this wow, this emotion. And for it to be your own daughter, her very first play of flag football because she wanted to play and because she wanted to play, it's the only reason I'm coaching. It just hit me like, oh, my God. I was so happy. I, like, almost threw my playbook. I was running. I was like, ah, I was so happy. I was, then I had to like calm back down and like call the next play, which I didn't even care about at that point. my biggest thing is I need to get London the ball a little bit more because she was one of our better players.
That's what's up. All right, man. Let's talk about the 2015 season when you and I was in Carolina. Let's talk about how that theme you said that moment, the crowd, that had to be one of the best years of my NFL career. You know what I'm saying? Coming from Chicago, I had like 13 and 14 was like two of the worst years of my football career. And I almost retired in 2014.
Really?
So coming, oh yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. there was a dispute with a coach about something that went on with me and Lance and we didn't do anything. And he was like, well, I was told I couldn't stand next to one of my teammates in practice. So I was like, wait, what? I played with this guy. We're teammates since, you know, 03. He's my draft classmate. And you know, the coach is like, well, y'all can't stand next to each other. I was like, is that what we're doing now? Like, that's really petty. So thank God for Jared Allen, because I literally almost retired after that day in 2014. And I'm so glad I did. I thank Jared every time for that too. But yeah, I almost retired. And so going from like two bad seasons in Chicago from 2013 and 14, and then coming to Carolina, oh, you talk about a breath of fresh air. Like, man, I can't thank y'all, Rivera. I can't thank the whole coach, Wilkes, The Rock. I can't thank the whole entire McDermott, the whole coaching staff. Like, it was truly an unbelievable time, and it like recharged my spirit and it got me loving football again, because I was telling you, man, them 2 years I was in a bad place. It wasn't cool. But yeah, man, Carolina, I love it. I think I'm coming back there for Christmas. It was just a great time, man.
I've been hearing we're trying to set that up for you for after Christmas so you and the fam can come down. My big thing was, man, it was great to actually have you as a teammate. So you come in, you know, I got there in 14, and after kind of a rocky year in New Orleans where we had won some games, but I was ready to go. They had drafted somebody. The same thing. I was starting to have a falling out with my coaches and stuff. It just wasn't a good thing. It's crazy how you can give an organization everything for so many years. And then the first moment or chance that they get to move on, it's like peace, you know? So emotionally, you come into, like, you know, you're a little bit hardened because of that, because of the business side of football. And then when you get to another good place, man, it really just opens you back up. You're like, dude, like, I'm learning different things. I feel like totally recharged, refreshed. Like, I still got more things to prove now. And having you come in, man, with a veteran presence to really help out our corners, and then just you and your personality alone, it was actually amazing to watch that, you know, for as successful as you have been your whole career, for you to be able to, at the age you were, to still come in and play at a high level, like automatically command respect just because of who you are. But then when Wilkes is like, look, guys, just keep running around because Peanut's going to like get the ball out. And then all of a sudden it was like, it spread like wildfire. Like everybody started punching at the ball and it became like a new thing. And then the way you kept it so light in the meetings all the time. I mean, we had more fun when you were around, Peanut. And that's just the truth of the matter is you just know how to lighten the mood. You know how to keep it all funny. And even when I would have to be the more serious one in the meeting when it came to like the older leadership guys, because yeah. it's kind of forced upon me. It kind of happened out of, you know, 14 to 15.
You look older though. Like that's what it is though. You're older. That's why we look to you, the great wise one.
It's, you know, I love that we will continue to always talk about this because we're going to be honest with everybody and tell them how often we'd be on the road. And we would ask people, okay, who looks older, me or him? We'll always say you.
I don't know if they would say always. So one of the producers,
80% of the time. 80% so of the time.
I'm gonna be transparent right now. One of the producers for the show, DC, was like, "Yo," because he saw all the gray. Like that's. I was like, "Yeah, we get that all the time." Do you remember how much I tried to pay you to dye your hair?
Yes, I was gonna say
a collection.
Try to get the whole thing to put in. They wanted to be like, okay, it was up to like $5,000-$6,000 at one point, maybe even more. I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You're like, come on, man. I still would give you so much money to dye your hair. Give us one week. If you could give us one week, I'm like, no, not happening.
Give me one. I'm saying that offer, I will still pay you $5,000 to dye your hair. Come on, man. You got to do it.
The thing that I miss so much, though, about that team was like the pictures that we would take literally every week after we would do the D lineman coaches drill, we like sit up and pose. We would get like our hardest poses on every week. It was like the Thieves Avenue. What we doing? Like we brought so much swag to that team, and then everybody else really just jumped in from that. And you know, Will was always talking about we're gonna lead it from the back and all that other stuff. I truly believed it, man. It was special. And then I thought we were good. I knew we could be good. But Kelvin Benjamin getting hurt in preseason, I didn't really know exactly how good we could be offensively. I knew defensively we'd be okay. But then after that, when we went out to Seattle and won that game on the road, at that point, I was like, guys are going to start to believe now. And once you start to believe that you can do something great, like it's going to happen after that. It's very powerful.
It's powerful.
The mind. Yeah. So powerful. Effect. You know, and right, you know, you had one of your best seasons was what, 8-0 or 9-0 in Chicago, right?
Correct.
All right, and then I remember I started 13-0 in New Orleans, which was my best season, which was nobody had done better than that in the whole team. So when we actually went 14-0, man, it was like, man, we were rolling.
That was special.
Like
it was so special.
And it's crazy because I lost in the Super Bowl year. We lost to Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, and I played against him in the same Super Bowl 6 years earlier in Super Bowl 44. And in Super Bowl 50, man, he was like a shell of himself. Like, he couldn't throw the ball 35 yards. You know? If he did, he had to throw it away. And we still lost. It's just it's crazy how hard it is to, like, win it all, man. You got to be good all the time. And we played our worst game in the biggest moment. And I felt bad because you were out there with your camera and just, you know, hanging out. And then I still have not let some things go because of it, but it's all good.
I have not watched the entire game of Super Bowl
50. I have not watched
the entire game of Super Bowl 41. Like, it hurts. Those memories, they're still there. And we had our defense was so dope. Our defense was so good. Star, you, myself, Josh. You know, Josh had a all pro season that year.
Yep. Kurt Coleman had his breakout year too.
He had a breakout year. TD, Lou.
We had young AJ Klein too. Mario.
Yeah.
Charles Johnson. Goodness. I mean, Jared Allen CJ. Came over. It was like, dude, we literally had a lot of really good players. Dwan Edwards.
And we vibed. Like we had really good chemistry. Like we vibed. That was, yeah. So, hey, let me ask you this. What do you think about Cam re-signing with the Panthers?
So living here in Charlotte, it has everybody fired up. Like they actually have something to be excited about. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny because before Cam re-signed, people were complaining about the vibes in the stadium. They were like, dude, it is the deadest the stadium's ever been. Nobody's excited. Everybody's selling their PSLs. There's no home field advantage. When the Patriots are here, Bob Kraft walked out on the field before the game. And everybody, you could like hear the roars in the crowd because it's so many non-Panthers fans in the stadium. So that's now sad. Having Cam, it is sad, but now having Cam automatically just signed, the ticket sales have already gone up. People are not going to, they're going to show up just for that. And sometimes you just need somebody, a face or somebody to give you some kind of hope or something, a sense of hope or, you know, and they won last week in Arizona, a game that they probably were not favored to win. I picked them to lose that game, but you know, I didn't think Cam was going to play and I don't even think he really, he impacted the game, but not a much. It was almost like, but you know how Cam is. He has a very infectious personality in the locker room. Mm-hmm. He is a big personality. He's a huge human being. He's huge.
And I didn't think he was that big when I got there. When I saw him, I was like, damn, he was pretty, he kind of big. He kind of big right now. Yeah.
You think it's like, okay, it's just because he has cleats on or helmet and some pads. But actually, when you see him in real life, you're like, ah, actually, no, he's like a really big dude. He's a really big dude. So
like a power forward.
Yeah. Like he's huge. When I told Heather, I was like, look, the first time you meet Cam, it's like the thing that's going to jump out is like, he's a really big dude. It's not going to be his voice, how he looks or his clothes. It's going to be like, damn, he's like really big. So
it might be his clothes a little bit. It might be some of his clothes a little bit.
I mean, depends on you getting him on game day Cam or just like everyday Cam.
Yeah. He dressed like Andre 3000 from Outkast. Like he,
1,000%. So, you know, but now having him back, it gives the fans and some other people to be excited about some things. And it really is kind of cool to see the vibe of the city automatically just change and just pick up because of it. And I just want, look, this is my dream, and I know it's probably not going to happen, but I would love that if he comes in with a sense of humility and a sense of, like, humble attitude that it's almost like, look up to it, enjoy it, and let's try and go out here and win some ball games, what it is. And if he does that, man, he'll be able to own this city forever.
Why do I feel like you're giving me analyst Roman Harper instead of just having a conversation, Roman Harper? Are you working right now? Is this analyst mode?
This is just how I feel. I'm just that good, Peanut. You don't even know.
I couldn't tell. I don't know if I'm getting SEC Network Roman Harper or am I getting my dog Roman Harper? Just like my guy.
It's me, dog. It's me. That good. You don't know. I'm like Leonardo DiCaprio. If you was dating Leonardo DiCaprio, you don't know who he is that day. You know, I can come in and be any kind of actor.
I don't want to date Leonardo. You could have gave me somebody else other than Leo. You could have gave me some. That was a terrible example. Don't do that. How did you get into the whole SEC Network? Like how did that come about?
So after I retired, Peanut, I took 365 days, did absolutely nothing with my life. I needed to decompress. It was awesome. You know what I mean? I didn't shave. My wife said I swept a lot, swept the house a lot, just kind of like stumbling around, doing a little bit of nothing, working out some. But, you know, whatever I didn't do that day that I wanted to get done, I just did it the next day because I was afforded time. It was kind of cool. And after that, I was like, all right, what am I going to do with myself? I didn't want to go into coaching because I knew the time commitments that it took. And I wanted to still be around my family, as you know, how much my kids and stuff mean to me and being around them and playing with those guys. So it's always cool. And so what could I do? So I did the broadcast boot camp. That was cool. And I got a little feel of radio, TV, like a quick synopsis of it. And then I was like, okay, maybe I could get into it. So I reached out to the local news in New Orleans. They found out that I was maybe interested in doing that stuff. So they hit me up. It didn't pay that great, but it was more about reps. That's all they talked about.
Yeah.
See how you like
some experience. Reps.
Yeah. Just getting some experience up under my belt. So I did that and I enjoyed it. It was like 4, 5, 6 games the first year. Then the next year was like 5 or 6 games. So I did that. So I did it for 2 years. And then in my second year, I also started working locally here for Fox 46, covering the Carolina Panthers when I wasn't working for New Orleans. So when I wasn't doing that station, I was doing here locally. Then also I started doing a little bit of radio with my boy Kyle Bailey, who I have a podcast with, Bailey and Harper. So me and him just vibing and doing some of that stuff. And after that, man, somebody from the network, they reached out to me after the season finished, 2 years ago. They called me and was like, hey, we've been watching you. So you actually never know who's got eyes on you, bro. You don't know.
Yeah.
It's like they called me and was like, hey, we've been watching. We'd like to try and, you know, bring you in for an interview. I was like, hell yeah, let's go. So then, and I felt so much more comfortable after those 2 years. It was almost like if I would have got that job right out, which maybe I may have wanted to do or something like that, I wouldn't have been ready. I wouldn't have been humbled enough. I wouldn't have been ready for that moment. So when I got that opportunity 2 years later, dude, I went in that interview and it's all, I don't know if you ever like walked out of an interview or anything like that. You're like, dude, I felt so confident about it. Like, dude, I just crushed it. Like, I feel so good. When I walked out, I felt like I was myself. I felt like I had some juice to me. And then next, you know, they called me back for a second interview and I did a big sit down with me, Laura Rutledge, Jordan, and Tim, which is the show now that I'm on SEC Nation. So I did that one, did well with that one. And then next, you know, I've been doing this the last 2 years, man. It's been kind of cool. And now that I'm actually on the road, because 2020, we didn't get to travel because of COVID. So now being on the road, going to these different college campuses, seeing what every team is like, you know, the personality, some of these coaches and the fans, because, you know, when you play, you don't get to do these things. You just go to a place, you play, and you go home. So it's been really cool, man. I really got to enjoy it, man. And I hope I get to keep doing this for a while.
What's the – I know you're going to every campus, you know, on the road. Like, what's been the best campus thus far?
So my favorite campus is actually Ole Miss, Oxford. And that's because the Grove, it's the best tailgate situation I've seen. And it's not even close, Peanut. And, you know, most teams and most campuses, you know, they have tailgates and people are getting it in wherever they're at. And it's RVs all over, blah, blah, blah. And Oxford, dude, it's just one central location on the middle of where this campus is. Our studio set was set up right here in the Grove. And then right out from there, bro, it's 12,000 people out there with food, drinks. Everybody's welcome. Everybody
did
in.
Did you eat some of it?
Yes, I did.
What was
yes,
it? What'd you eat? Like some coon, some possum?
No, I don't eat wild food really.
Okay.
It was versus LSU, which is a big rivalry for those guys. So we had alligator
crawfish,
out there.
Alligator.
They had a whole bunch of that stuff. I don't eat shellfish for real besides lobster, which I don't even, I'm kind of upscale, I guess, if that's what you call it. it was great. I mean, I had a couple of drinks and everybody was so friendly and so nice. And it was the best experience. If I could describe it as anything, it would be like a music festival with like young people and old people, everybody getting it in together. It's like a huge music. It was music everywhere. It was DJs out there, loudspeakers, and it's all one location. If you're tailgating anywhere else outside the Grove, you are losing. And nobody else is like that. And because of that, I think Ole Miss for me has been the best tailgating experience. Tennessee was really cool just because it's in the mountains and it's in Knoxville. Knoxville has a different little vibe. Athens has its own little vibe. Athens is cool because it's like literally campus and across the street is like three rows or three streets of like bars and restaurants. So it's right there. So you got a lot going on right beside the campus. Tuscaloosa is Tuscaloosa. It's the standard. So, of course, it's great. Little Rock reminds me a little bit of a smaller version.
You said Tuscaloosa is great?
Yeah, 1,000%. Fayetteville, sorry. Like, yeah, Tuscaloosa is great.
You talking about the elephant school, right? That's where you went, right?
Elephants? That's correct.
Alabama elephants.
Yes.
All right. Just making sure.
Sure, Peanut. Just know we're the standard of college football. Just as long as you understand that. It's okay, Peanut. Right. You can't argue that.
Dude, your mascot is an elephant, though. I'm not trying to argue. I'm just saying your mascot is an elephant.
1,000%. You also got it. It doesn't make sense. It's all Alabama schools. Think about it, all right? Alabama, we got an elephant as a mascot, but we're the Crimson Tide. The Auburn Tigers, they're Tigers, but their whole chant is War Eagle. It's an eagle flying around. It doesn't make sense. UAB or Blazers. Their whole thing's a dragon, but then they got a knight doing some other stuff. It's like we don't make any sense in the whole state of Alabama. It's okay. Like, it's not just my school. It's all of them.
And I have no words. Y'all a little slow, a little backwards. It's all right. Man, I still love y'all.
It's Alabama, dog.
Hey man, I still love y'all, man. I've been to UAB. I've been there. We lost to UAB like 52-2 back in the day. Yeah. And guess what? I got the 2 points because we blocked an extra point. And looking back on it, I shouldn't even ran a damn 90 yards back. It was the dumbest 2 points I've ever scored in my life. Never. I'd rather just lose 52-0. It was so stupid.
But you set yourself apart, though, with them 2 points, though, Peanut.
It didn't do a damn thing. We were terrible. We're absolutely terrible.
I want to know, how would you guard somebody like the cheetah, like Tyreek Hill, right now in today's game? Were you already can't
beat him up at the line? Beat him up at the line. I really think you got to throw the timing off with him and Patrick Mahomes. No doubt the dude is fast. You just can't miss. Because every time I see someone when they press, you know what I'm saying, he'll get into a route. He'll as soon as he comes off the line, he brings his feet instead of here, he brings them like this. He brings them like parallel. And the DB just stops and he freezes. Like, you have to make him move. You need to get him off the X. You know what I'm saying? DBs, we got to dictate what they do and not the other way around. And I think that's what he's really good at, because my coach used to always say, Gil Burr, he used to always say, hey, you got to guard the man, not the reputation. And there's some DBs, they probably scared when they go against them. Like, man, he's so fast. All right, I got to give him a little extra. Like, no, he put a sock on one foot at a time. Like, you got to take the fight to him. Go beat him up. With your chest. Go take it to him. Go whoop his butt. And I can't, oh my God, I'm ready to play right now. But you gotta take the fight to him. You dictate what he does.
That was always the thing that was really cool, watching you really just dominate and still come in with a sense of like pride in your work, Peanut, watching you do your technique and just like, you know, even when, you know, me and you would do the hand thing all the time, like blah, blah, blah. Right. Just like little right. stuff. Being ready for hand-to-hand combat. And also, dude, I added so many things to my game just watching you from the hands, like me getting off blocks or having to go against bigger tight ends and just like, blah, blah, just like all of a sudden just losing them real quick just because I knew more technique now at this age. So it was really cool always watching you do your work, no matter who you were going up against, still being able to stay locked down on them and stay right there with them. Even though these guys are fast and they're young, but like, it don't matter. Like you said, he put his pants on the same way I do. One leg at a time. So I guard the man, not the reputation. That's really cool.
Don't you wish you would have learned some of those techniques early in your career? Because that's kind of how I was. God. Like, if you would have been like your second, third year in New Orleans, like how much better could you have been?
I could have been a multi Pro Bowler if I'd have had some of the things that I knew and actually believed and trusted it too. Like, I was kind of a dumb young player. Like, I was like, nah, I still got it. I'm just, you know, run around and just playing off of my ability and not actually like, hold on, let me holistically look at this whole thing. And what can I do better mentally? What can I do better technique wise? Like, how can I not have as many false, like, you know, cutting out all the false movement, all the false steps. That's another thing that you learn how to do when you're older. We don't have no false movements. Eyes are always right, always in the right place. I don't be like tripping over there's no false steps. There's none. And so when you cut out all that extra stuff, it's just so efficient and you're just like, you're just a master of your craft. And that's what you were when you were in your last year, Peanut.
That's because I had lost my speed a little bit. So I had to just.
I mean, you were like 218. Can we talk about this? How the nutritionist had you like, you were like eating. I'm like, Peanut, how big are you going to get, bro? You
like, don't. That's, like, that was what they wanted. So I was like, all right. So I gained like I get an extra 5 or 6. I think I came there like 207 ish. And then I ended up being like 218.
I was like, Peanut, how big are you going to get, bro? Like, how big are you going to get?
I was like safety big.
Yes.
I was safety big.
And I'm not a big safety. So I'm not a big guy. So I mean, the heaviest I ever been in my whole life was like 209, 210.
Are you serious? So, what are you right now?
I'm probably 198.
What? Yeah, that is so small.
I know, man. I got an 8-pack, bro, with about 198.
I'm like 212 to 215. Like, I maintain 212 to 215.
How are you so big right now? Well, you're actually taller than me, too, so.
I'm lifting like a madman.
Oh, well, that's probably what it is. You're lifting like a madman. I haven't lifted in the last couple of weeks since my
you got to get the gym. So you remember how we used to do the swole, get swole Fridays? Yeah,
no doubt. Hey,
I still have my t-shirt. All right, here we go.
So this is a thing that I brought to Carolina and Big House, you know, House loved it. So I was like, House, I have my own thing that I like to do. You know, I get my workouts in, and I'll do everything that you want. But on Fridays, it's like my mental, like, it's like my day. Like, I go hard in the weight room on Friday. He was like, what? He's like, what about the game? I'm like, bro, I'll be ready, but this is like what I do. He's like, well, what is it? I'm like, well, I do 315 on the bench, and like, it's my 315 Fridays. And then after that, I just get yoked, like, beyond belief. And he was just like, all right, dude. So brings me in there, lets me like do my thing. You know me, the number one rule is no sleeves.
Zero sleeves.
No sleeves allowed on Friday if you're in the weight room with me. Nobody's got them on. And then get up under that 315, warm up with, you know, warm up a little bit, get that 315 every game. I'm trying to get that many reps. See how many I can get up to. I mean, you really test yourself. You get really strong doing this stuff. And it was just crazy to see how much stronger I could get in my older age and still maintain my strength without having to work hard at maintaining it. It was really cool to see. Then we break it down, get down to 135, rep that out 50. You know, we got the big 50 and the 135. You get two sets to get 50. And then from there, we do some pulls, 50 pulls. Then after that, bro, it's all about the arms, the gun show, baby, trying to get right. And I just hate that you couldn't, because of your shoulder, Peanut, you couldn't get down with us fully the whole time. But I appreciate you always showing up with no shirt, no sleeves, and like just mentally being there, dog, ready to go, ready. Just like, yeah, man, I was
like 225 a little bit. I was still in there trying to do my thing a little bit, but these old shoulders and these surgeries. Like, I think I'm gonna let it pass. I'm good. I was just maintaining. So remember where was we at? We were in Athens. Remember we took that cruise? Remember the cruise we took?
Oh,
all we did was lift.
With lift.
That was every day. The whole trip. It was the whole trip. Let's go to the gym.
We would just be like bored. We're like, hey, just get a deck of cards and just like whatever card we pull. That's how many push-ups we do. Just run a deck.
Do the push-ups. Yeah. That's probably the biggest I got on a vacation for a whole week. Oh, we just lift their weights, upper body all day.
Every day. Like, what am I? I mean, they can't tell how big my legs are with these shorts on. So I'm doing straight arms the whole time.
So,
and then we almost drowned in
Dubrovnik.
Yeah, Dubrovnik, Croatia. Croatia. That was an experience.
Give a little bit more detail. So yeah, we get Roman out. We're in Dubrovnik, Croatia, and the chef or the owner of the restaurant, he water polo player, wanted you and I to play water polo. They had an arena in the marina. So he tried to give you his Speedos that you did not take, thank God.
Because Peanut thinks everything's a joke. He's like, oh, those fit you, Rome. Like, you definitely should put those on. And he's trying to offer them to me. And I'm just like, why are you doing this, dog? Like, why? Yeah. And then we're like, okay, we held him off a little bit, And he was just like, he wanted us to get in. So when he came back to the table in just his Speedo in a shirt and was like standing beside me, and I didn't know until I like looked and was like, come on, dog. Like,
his man like jump right was in here. Your face. Yeah.
Like right here, bad. Dog. It was so bad. And
he didn't even flinch. He's like, what I do?
Yeah, I got my suit on. Like, he's ready to go. And they're like, all right, dude, let's go. So we get out there. We see little kids out there. For us, I was not ready to have no bottom. Like, it was like 12, 13 feet. Like, it wasn't no bottom. Like, I was not ready for that when we got in. So
I was not ready for the not bottom.
it was no bottom, dog. It was like, okay, I'm ready to like maybe touch then come back up. And I was like, bro, I ain't ready for this. I don't know how to just like do that. I don't have that move down in my book. So it was rough for your boy, dog. It was rough for your boy. I was out there really struggling. We probably embarrassed every other athlete.
It was hilarious. But how many people can say they've been to Dubrovnik, Croatia, and they put a Speedo on and they play water polo?
Just me and my boy Peanut, dog.
Yeah, and it ain't too many brothers out there that can say they did that.
No, the biggest example that is not a lot of brothers doing it was when we actually finished playing, and then we walked to go shower and rinse off, and literally it's like a long line of like beach chairs and stuff out there on the beach. And they literally all, like 30, 40 people were just like staring at us. Just like, and I didn't notice it. You didn't notice it. But our wives noticed and was like, Roman, like, you see all these people staring at you and Peanut right now? I'm like, no, who's looking? I'm like, damn, like they really are staring. I look, and it's always big when you look at them and they don't even flinch. They don't like turn their head or nothing. They still just like.
It was like normal to just stare at us. Yeah, it was like, yeah. Hey, y'all. Think this is weird, y'all just staring at us because we get out this water. Like, all right, let me just take my towel and put it back on. Like, it was bad. Yeah, it was bad. They did not care. They did not care. No,
but they had never seen brothers before. Probably definitely brothers not in shape. So it was definitely different for them.
Yeah. That was a good time. We definitely got to do that again. All right.
It was
man.
A great vacation, my
brother. I wanna segue this. So I'm looking at the rules, and you're a guy that we all. I watch football all the time, and I'm texting. So taunting was a big thing. Emphasis a couple weeks ago, and I never taunted anybody. I might have stared down at people a couple of times. I might have, you know, given them a little word, a little lip, you know, just a little something like, "Hey, you gonna feel me on this one?" You know, I'm curious to know. Is staring at somebody after a big play, is that not allowed?
I don't understand how they even made this rule a rule, Peanut. All right, you play an emotional game where you have to be emotionally in it to be good at it, okay? Mm-hmm. I have to be physically ready, emotionally ready, mentally ready to go out there and execute at the highest level versus the best people in the world. And so when all of a sudden now, when I make that play or I do something like really good, you want me just to like, oh, nope, stay in this box, sir. Go to the sideline, celebrate with your teammates. And, but not everybody's held to that standard.
Mm-hmm.
Get the first down. They get to flex and point first down. They just make a normal catch. They get to stand up and flex and do these other things, right? And I can't say anything to them as a defender. I can't. They can look wherever they want when they do these things too. All right. But a defensive guy makes one play. And then next, you know, and when they looked at the sideline, that was a terrible call. Like, what's wrong with looking at the sideline? Especially a team that maybe released you or cut you like a couple months before that. Like, you don't think like emotionally I'm not invested.
He was a practice squad guy. You know, and that was his moment, big stage. And he was like, yo, y'all feeling me right now. Ugh, I'm a flex on him. Yeah.
And they threw the flag. I'm like, how is that even talking? Like, how does that look at the other, like on the other sideline, affect the game? What really affects the game is that ref getting involved and throwing the flag. I never thought the NFL had a taunting issue. Like, it's trash talking going on. But that's all like trying to get an edge. I don't think
for sure.
I don't think anybody's ever said anything that like wanted to make me fight them. I just thought it was trash talking. And just like that's what happens inside the game, right? It's like
I don't think you could talk trash though. You're so nice.
Peanut, man, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I don't think you could talk trash. You're so nice. You're a nice dude. Like you can't talk trash. Like when you laugh, you cry. Like you're like Flanders on the football field, bro. Like you can't, you would hit somebody hard, but you're not finna, like I was way different. You remember when Colston beat my head? Yeah. Like I was fired up, ready to go. And you was like, hey, it's cool, man. Calm down. Be good. Just relax. And I was like, no, man, F that. He did so. He's like, no, man. And you weren't calm. You're like, he's really a nice guy. You know that, right? And I was just like, I don't care about this. I'm trying to call him a man first. Like, I was so mad.
You were so mad at my boy, Coast. And I was just like, man, Coast is such a nice guy. Like, that doesn't even seem like him. He's like, nah, he did it, bro.
And
nah,
I was mad at you for not taking my side because we was teammates. I was like, you're not a Saint anymore. You're a Panther. Be on my side. Be on my team. He mushed me, so therefore, damn it, we got to go mush him back.
I was like, bro, that's like my guy. Like,
I
know. No.
I was so mad.
And then afterwards, I talked to him. And
look, he crying now.
I am. Pina, I got to tell you about that, too. So I literally afterwards, I talked to him. He's just like talking about how miserable he was with the coach. And I was like, oh, he's just not in a good place, Pina.
He wasn't in a good place. He was not himself.
He wasn't in a good place. He was just like, I reacted. He's like, man, what it really was, he got me and I wasn't ready. And then I just got angry. I was like, I get
it,
dog.
You know why I got him, though?
Because he was out of there, broke the pocket.
Drew rolled out of the pocket, and then I went and I just pushed him. I pushed him down, and he was like, how did I, you know, and that's exactly what it was. I wish more coaches would teach that.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize how beneficial it is until you used to do that for us all the time.
Patrick Mahomes is outside the tackle box all the time. You want to get Tariq Hill, you want to stop him from running down the field, you push him in his back. Soon as Mahomes gets outside the pocket, somebody just blasts him. He not defenseless. Just go knock him on his ass. And he going to be on the ground looking like, that is within the rules. As a defensive player, you got to play to your advantage. Like if a receiver is running and he's just running just to run and you see the quarterback outside, oh man, just go push him. And then now you got four DBs covering three receivers. You can go double team somebody else. Like you're a plus one.
Go find work.
Yeah. I just don't, to me, that's another reason how you stop Tariq.
I got to tell you a quick story. So on Tuesday night, I do my SEC Now show. Right. And so we had this one little thing and we made a joke about something or something. So next, you know, I was like crying. I was like laughing so hard. Right. They don't know that I cry when I laugh. Okay. Right? They've never seen me like laugh that hard because I try and, you know, stay like ready. And dude, I'm like laughing so hard. And then like the camera's back on me. And then my homegirl listens like, Roman, are you being emotional right now? Does this have you emotional? I'm just like, dude, you guys have no idea. Like I always cry when I laugh. Y'all just don't see me laugh that hard here. But if I laugh just a little bit, you know, they coming. Like the tears are coming. Can't help it.
Yeah. I think that's probably the one thing I appreciate about you, man, is just, I know when you're in a good mood because I see tears coming down. I know we're going to have a good time, or I know we're having a good time because you're crying, you know, but man, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I really do appreciate you. I saw your wife walking through a couple of times. So please tell Sister Heather, I said, what's up? Give your best to all four of your kids. Since you've been hanging out with me, you got four kids. Everybody I hang out with, they got four kids.
You totally jinxed me, bro. You totally jinxed me, dog.
I did.
You
totally got me. I love you. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Congratulations to your most recent induction into the Saints Hall of Fame.
Thank you for being there, too, man. It meant the world to me for you to be there and share that moment with me.
I had a blast.
Thank you, man.
Hey, man. Yeah. So y'all keep tuning in. Y'all keep listening to NFL Players Podcast, Twitter, Instagram. Y'all go follow Rome. He's on every social media platform. Y'all check out his podcast. Hey, keep doing your thing. My dogs. Keep doing your thing on the SEC Network, man. I love watching you. You got a hell of a talent, especially in this broadcasting career. And, hey, appreciate you, man. Y'all keep tuning in. Thank y'all. God bless.
Appreciate it, Peanut.
Thanks for joining us on the NFL Players Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and follow @NFL Players Podcast on Instagram for the latest player stories and to connect with the NFL players community.